Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. I'm all by myself today, here to answer any of your questions, as well as to kind of bring you up to date on some of the items we were talking about this past week. If you're in St. Louis, the number you can phone is 821-0850. But if you're anywhere in North America, including St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And we love to take any questions that you might have. I had indicated to some of my email writers that we would be dealing with what they have to say, but I'm going to save that till next Wednesday, because next week is Holy Week, and we're not even here on Friday, so there won't be an open mic. This is the last open mic that we're going to be having at this time. So, without further ado, why don't we go to our phones, and we're going to be talking to Herman. Herman, you're on first.
Thank you. I believe yesterday you and your companion pastor were talking about the Jehovah's Witness and how it's more challenging to deal with them because they have different definitions of words and persons in the Bible, such, for example, Jesus Christ. And I'm wondering, do you see the same issue with what are called the liberals, who say will define Jesus' resurrection as a spiritual resurrection, not a bodily resurrection? Do you see a similar problem with that type of use of language today?
Yes. The liberals that you're speaking of were brought up with an understanding called the historical critical method, by which you don't take the Bible at face value. You try and get behind what the words written have to say as to the real intent of, for example, the writer. So when Moses wrote about a creation in six 24-hour days, they make the point that, yes, it's clear he said it was six 24-hour days, but with our science, we know that that could not have happened, and therefore the main point that Moses was talking about was not the length of creation or how it occurred, but rather he wanted to make clear how human beings fell into sin, which leads us into our situation today. So it's a good point. I was trying to say sometimes you don't use Bible verses, because when I was at the seminary being taught by professors that did not believe the Bible as it specifically states, you could give Bible verses, but they would just ignore them because they would say, well, that's a subjective understanding that you have, and therefore we don't have to go with that. And that's why today there is such a difference in churches in regard to morality, because they don't accept the Bible as it is clearly written. They're trying to look behind it to see what it really means.
Yes. If you take that approach, then if you go behind the Bible, how does that person really know what they found is behind the Bible? And it says as if God can't make himself clear.
Yes. What they believe is it's actually a denial of certain doctrines, like the third use of the law, that God puts in the Bible his will for mankind for all times. And they say, no, that was for that time. We now have the Holy Spirit who guides us as to whether we should interpret it the same way it's been traditionally interpreted, or whether or not, because of our science, our psychology, and other philosophies, we know it has a different meaning. So that's why it's very difficult to talk with these people in just speaking of Bible verses, because they no longer accept the Bible as the Word of God.
I see. It's so you really are almost there. They put themselves on like quicksand.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone can have a kind of a different point of view. I know at the seminary I was at, there were over 40 professors who might not have been as liberal as some of the others were, but they permitted that point of view, even though they may have disagreed with it. Like, I do believe there were some professors who did believe in 6 24-hour day creation, but they thought that that was just an option, and if you didn't want to believe that and believed in evolution, that was not sufficient to remove you as a minister from the church.
I know. Well, this Holy Week and Easter, we see where Jesus, who was there at creation, is going to recreate us by his work on the cross and bodily resurrection.
Yeah, what really bothers me is I was on a television program debating some of these liberals, and I got the pastor, who was liberal, to admit that he didn't believe that Jesus was correct when he talked about Jonah, that Jonah never really had been swallowed by a fish, etc., etc. And that's what this leads to, is the denial of what Jesus himself says. So if Jesus is wrong on Jonah, how do we know he's not wrong about heaven is going to be my home?
Indeed. Thank you very much, Pastor.
And thank you so much for calling. And that was Herman. And we're all set now to get another person on, and that is going to be Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, good morning to you, Pastor. And God bless our Easter season.
Yes.
I have a question. I understand that our names are already written in the Book of Life.
That what is? Oh, your names are already written. Okay.
Are they?
You know when they were written?
Yeah.
Before the foundation of the world. If you read the Ephesians passage, the first chapter, it talks that you, Marilyn, were predestined before the foundation of the world. God elected you. And he did that, and I'm going to ask you this, and you're going to say yes. You have been baptized, have you not?
Absolutely.
That is the formal way in which God makes you assured that you have been become his child. It's an adoption procedure, and baptism is so important there.
Absolutely, it is. Okay, what about those of my children who have been baptized, and I'm not sure that they're really following through with our Lord Jesus?
Yes, we call these people sometimes delinquents from the church. And it depends what church they're going to. I would be delinquent at many of the churches that are in this country. I'm not talking about Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, but if I was a Baptist, a Roman Catholic, a Presbyterian, I would stop going to that church because it's teaching false doctrine in some area. Can you imagine belonging to a church where they refuse to baptize infants? No, of course not. Now, the thing is, we can't read a person's heart. We don't know why someone may be delinquent from church, etc. So we got to be very careful when the Bible says, judge not, lest you yourselves be judged. A person can seem to have fallen away from the Lord, but he may have had an experience that really turned him off. But his heart still is with the Lord, and there are ways in which a pastor can figure that out when we meet with them. That's why we always are meeting with delinquents and trying to get them back into the church. But continue to pray for those individuals, because look it, I bet none of them that you're thinking about, your children, we're like Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times.
They didn't deny him. They just don't seem to follow through on worshiping.
Yes. And that can be a problem that it takes a trained pastor to really look at. And, for example, do they meet with you at Christmas?
Oh, my family's been fractured since my son was injured.
Yes.
My one daughter lives in Florida. And she told me, she says, Mom, out there in the Gulf, she says, I'm talking to the Lord all the time. She said, I know. And she feels that that's sufficient. And I don't.
Yes. That error on her part doesn't mean that she's not a Christian. It's just that she really needs a trained pastor to help her understand that there is so much more. I'm preparing a sermon. We're going to have a confirmation pretty soon. And the theme of the sermon is people who are delinquent from church attempt to become self-righteous by forgiving themselves. And in time, it just doesn't work. They have to hear the words of the absolution. Self-absolution simply doesn't work. And hopefully, somebody will be with her, or she'll have an experience where she finds out she needs more than what she has at this time. Okay?
I pray all the time. What about one of my children who has gone into the Roman Catholic Church?
Roman Catholics are saved. Because they believe that if you ask a Roman Catholic, who will you give all the credit to for your salvation when you go to heaven? They always say Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Where they're messed up on a little bit is on purgatory, praying to Mary, and this sort of thing. But we would call those non-fundamental doctrines, which does not necessarily remove you from the church of God in Christ.
Well, you just answered my question there, because my one son's home, which is not right here in the St. Louis area, retired from the service, although still working.
Okay, well, we don't want to get too personal with your family, Carolyn.
I'm not being personal.
Yeah, I know. It's just something you keep in your prayers. And
well, we have Mary up there on the wall all the time, and it bothers me so much.
Yes, yes, yes. Should be up on the wall is Jesus, because we do not need Mary to access Jesus, because in our baptism we already are declared sinless and righteous. So,
thank you, Pastor. I know that you've had your trials through life, and I thank you so much, because I'll tell you, sometimes I'd say, come, Lord Jesus, come, but I know that there are a lot of people that he wants yet to be with him.
Oh, absolutely. That's why the end of the world hasn't come, so never give up hope. In fact, Marilyn, let me have a little prayer for your children at this time.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that many of us have children that at times seem to have fallen away from the church. We pray indeed that the baptism will remind them of what Jesus has truly done, and particularly during this Easter season, with his cross and resurrection, they come to a knowledge that really, apart from him, there is no hope of salvation, but with him, all things work together for their good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. God bless.
God bless your family.
Okay. Bye. Anybody else you want to call? St. Louis number 821-0850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. Yes, there's no doubt that there is an increase in nuns. And I always have to explain that. I'm not talking about N-U-N-S, Roman Catholic nuns. I'm talking about N-O-N-E-S. Whereas years ago, about 7% of people would say, what church do you belong to? They say none. Now it's up in the 20%. And the reason for that, I believe, And I got this kind of from the Billy Graham group, had done a study in England. It's because the pastors there are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why would you want to stay a Christian if you think that the God up there is one who's checking you out, watching your works, and making sure that what you are doing is according to his will, before he likes you, before he loves you, and finally, before he saves you? That's not the kind of God that we have. So let's go back to the phone lines and talk with... Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Morning. I think we asked you probably more than one gospel, but anyway, maybe it's Mark. But anyway, when Jesus asks Peter three times, so Peter denied him three times, and I guess Jesus asks him if he loves him three times to give him a chance to make up for it or something. But twice he says agape, according to the footnotes in my Bible.
Yes.
And then the third time he says filio. And I know the difference, you know, one, maybe you lay down your life, the other's more of a brotherly love. Why did Jesus on the third one switch to that?
Because, remember the response by Peter each time, Lord, you know I phileo you. He didn't say agape. And none of us have that level of agape. No pastor loves God perfectly. But we do have a phileo. Remember, that's a city of brotherly love, Philadelphia.
Right.
And that's all that's necessary from God to use us. I mean, look at Paul. He was a murderer, and God decided to use him as apostle to the Gentiles. He did not agape God at all at that point. He needed a conversion. And if you take a look... Issues Etc. is doing a wonderful series on the books of the Bible, and I was listening to the one on Samuel, that, first of all, King Saul, he failed. Then King David, he failed. Then Solomon, he failed. And the point they were making, there was only one ruler who never failed, and that was Jesus. So God chooses sinners to be his pastors, to be lay people in witnessing to others, because someone is not convinced to come to faith on the basis of the faith of the speaker, but on the basis of the purity of the word of God that is spoken. So that was all that was necessary to Peter. He knew he didn't agape Jesus, or else he would have never denied him. But therefore, the Lord uses that phileo. Now, there are some scholars who don't want to make a big difference between those words. That's fine. You know, there can be a difference in interpretation. We're not going to make that a doctrinal thing. But I kind of think it's important that Jesus does change the Greek words.
But why did he use the agape the first two times and then switch to phileo?
Because he's trying to make Peter aware of the fact that he doesn't have perfect love. Because Peter doesn't respond, you know, Lord, you know I agape you. It was the lesser love. And that is a confession of sin, and that is what God was looking for. I'm almost confident of that. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. And anybody else, we've got just a few moments left here that I think we can get one more on the line. Numbers are 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And we cannot get away from this without talking to Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Yes. Pastor Baker, I'm calling because I'd like you to, expound a little bit on Psalm 78. It's a beautiful psalm. It seems like, it's a beautiful psalm, and there are certain scripture verses in it that just kind of caught my eye, that in the Old Testament, the people didn't believe. Psalm 78, verse 22, because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust his saving power. So I wanted you to take some of those things, as well as that one that looks like it speaks to the Christ and the gospel, and kind of sum it up for the Christian today in reading that psalm in law and gospel.
Okay, in the remaining minutes that I have left, one of the things I always like saying about the Psalms is that originally They are to be understood as prayers of Jesus,
okay,
not our prayers. And I mean, boy, does that ever come through. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. That's
mm-hmm.
Jesus. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And then listen to what he says next.
Yeah.
I will open my mouth in a parable.
Yep.
And remember, those parables were not really well aware. Then he goes into indicating that many of the people, they fell from God. Like verse 18, they tested God in their heart by demanding food they craved, you know, rather than the manna. And, you know, they didn't have enough water. And remember, the poisonous snakes were sent there. And then God saved them by a bronze serpent. So this is kind of a history here about how they rebelled against God. But listen to verse 70 and following. That's at the end of the psalm. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. And who is the son of David, Michelle?
Oh, that's Jesus.
Exactly. And listen to verse 72. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand.
Yeah.
And all psalms, or many of them, have both a law and a gospel in them. The law is going against the people because they rebelled against him. But then the gospel is that Jesus appears as the shepherd who's going to guide them, in this case, with his skillful hand. And look at how many people came to faith through the preaching of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the apostles after he had died.
We can hear the law, absolutely, the Christian church of all ages, right? We can hear the law in that psalm, but of course, we can hear the gospel too.
Yes, a proper part of scripture always needs to have both law and gospel. Look at the Sermon on the Mount, tremendous law. You know, you think you haven't murdered? Well, if you have a bad thought, or if you say a bad word, that's murder. But then the gospel. Think not that I have come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came to fulfill them. Jesus does for us what we are unable to do.
Yeah.
So you and I, when we appear in heaven, we will be totally righteous because we're wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. And that's why pastors have vestments, because they're always symbolic of what the Bible says that all of us received in the waters of baptism.
So we just have to, well, not have to, we just stay there. You know, we seem to always be looking back. We have a tendency, I have a tendency, everyone, I guess.
Yes.
To look at the law, but we always come to, when things get really bad, we come to the gospel.
And that's the purpose of preaching the law, so that, remember John the Baptizer? He was the forerunner, and that meant what he preached prepared people for the coming of Jesus, because he says, you know, I'm only baptizing you with water. It was a ceremonial washing, but the one after me, he will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, Michelle, as you read these psalms, you will discover the gospel again and again after the reading of the law.
Yeah.
Okie doke?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Thank you very much for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Goodbye. And that, unfortunately, we're kind of out of time. I know I've got some emails, and you can blame Herman, Marilyn, Steve, and Michelle for calling, so I didn't get to them. I'm intending to get to them on Wednesday. Monday, we'll be talking about, well, the Easter worship service, and Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. Tuesday, we'll do the hymn with Mark Smith. Wednesday, normally Insight. I'll be dealing with responding to emails. And then on Thursday, which will be the last time that week we're live with Wes Reimnitz, we'll have again something we'll be ruminating over. But at this point, I urge you to continue to listen to KFUO. There's a worship service coming up. And we pray that you will be once more hearing law and gospel, because that is the essence of all sermons. I'm Tom Baker. Want to get a hold of me? Law and Gospel at longgospel101.com. Until Monday, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.